break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power, there is power in the name of Jesus. Sing it out, sing it out. There is power in the name of Jesus. We believe it. There is power.
Today. Great and mighty God, God who came in the flesh, we thank you, Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is above every name. And we thank you, Lord, for the power in the name of Jesus to save, to heal, to deliver. God, we thank you that you're coming again as well. We praise you today. We worship you today. Truly, Lord, we ask you to fill us with your presence, your glory, your power. Anoint us from heaven to do your will in our lives and to speak the truth to everyone around us. Thank you, Lord. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. We welcome everyone here. Fire and Grace Church this morning. We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio. Goodness, I guess YouTube, Facebook, everywhere else, True God TV. We welcome everybody. You know, it's been a busy week. I know everybody out there has their own busy weeks. It's been a crazy week for me. I want everybody to go ahead and just turn in your Bibles. Go to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to start there this morning. Of course, I did talk a little bit about this subject on Tuesday night on the radio show. But this morning, I'm just going to call this Jesus Caused Division. That's probably a statement you've never heard in church, because division is a dirty word, right, in church. We're never supposed to have any division. We're never supposed to have any strife. We're never supposed to have any controversy or difficulty. But you know something? Jesus, as I preached last week and made it very clear from the Old Testament to the New, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he is God manifested in the flesh. He's not just the Son of God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a spiritual leader. He's not just a man. But God Almighty, when he decided to become a man, that man is Christ Jesus. And that we have that truth in the book of John, John chapter 1, John chapter 14, when Philip said, "Show us the Father." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." I mean, that's pretty strong. I'm not going to debate any of the people that are in these cults or whether they be even people that are in the extremes of the Hebrew Roots movement that want to say Jesus is not God in the flesh and they want to deny the Trinity and the triune nature of God. I'm not even going to argue with that anymore. I've preached on that. But one thing we need to accept, the fact is, everybody starts whining and crying when there starts to be a little bit of upset. I don't know where we get it in our brains that when Jesus came, you know, perfect Jesus, the perfect prophet, the perfect teacher, the perfect one, the only sinless one. And he stated he only did only the will of God in his life. He never sinned, and he always did what the Holy Spirit led him to do. He never got off track. He never said anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. Yet, for some reason in our heads, we get it in our minds that around the ministry of Jesus, everything was just peace, love, and joy, and wonderful utopia. That Jesus was, there was never any problems. There was never any strife. There was never any division. There were never any problems. You know, when I was sharing with the couple that came to Kentucky, we got to talking about what if a ministry today had an incident like the ending of Jesus' ministry on the earth? Think about it today. What if I got arrested? One of you had lied about me to, you know, the authorities. I get arrested. Several of you are outside the church cussing, saying you never knew me. Right? My treasurer's found out that he's a thief, been stealing the tithes and offerings. And then he goes and commits suicide. Man, this ministry would be finished, right? Even if I was found not guilty, the internet and everybody else out there, the haters, boy, they would finish me off, wouldn't they? Right? That's how Jesus' ministry ended. He was arrested, his own forsook him. One betrayed him. One committed suicide. He was a thief. And one of his closest friends said, cursed and said, I never knew him. Think about that. We just get it in our heads that everything was hunky-dory, right? Not to mention that the religious establishment of the day, the religion of the day, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the high priest, the religion of Yahweh, the religion of God Almighty, fought with him, resisted him, and ultimately rejected him. The very ones that should have known him. They accused him of being a deceiver, being crazy, being demon-possessed, not keeping the Sabbath, breaking the law. Think about that, because that is the equivalent of the church world today. The church world today is so far away from the Word of God, and I'm talking about the rightly divided Word of truth from Scripture, that we have entire segments of the body of Christ that fight the truth. They fight the truth of God's Word. Listen, if you don't think, I had a megachurch pastor. And soon I'm going to tell his name. Better answer me on some things. But I have this megachurch pastor, and I shared this Tuesday, calling me a hypocrite, calling me names, telling me I was of the devil, I was satanic. And his whole reasoning? Because I said NASA is a bunch of liars. Of something of which I can prove. And he was losing it. Well, you know, one of his church members happened to send me an email a few days later and said, I'm pretty sure I know the megachurch pastor you're talking about because I attend his church. And what happened is, in one of their Bible study groups, some of your material about the true nature of creation and biblical cosmology. And obviously, your name came up, and this thing erupted in a heated debate about what does the Word of God say? And again, just the truth of God. And I'm not talking about just this truth of biblical cosmology that's causing such a stir right now, but it can be just about anything. For instance, you can go into some churches and just say the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, gifts of healing, working of miracles. You say that's still for today, and you're going to cause an uproar. You're going to cause division and strife, and they're not going to like you, and either they're going to ignore you or ask you to leave. And believe it or not, I've been asked to leave some of those churches simply over saying what the Bible says about the gifts of the Spirit still being for today, and God didn't change his mind about it, that it's in the New Testament. And when, you know, you got verses where it says that, you know, this is unto you and to your children and all them that are far off, who can say it's done away with? And then don't, oh, God forbid we start talking about demons and casting demons out of people. No, I remember, you know, seminary, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, been teaching for years, wondering if demons are even active in North America. Have you looked around? So start talking about demons in some churches, and guess what? You're the weirdo. You're the freak. You're causing division. I want to say this, and I want to make this statement very, very clear. When truth causes divisions, and I'm talking about the rightly divided truth of the Word of God. I'm not talking about false doctrine cherry-picked. But when truth comes in and that causes division, I don't care if it's in a church or if it's in a family or if it's in a marriage or if it's in a Sunday school class or a small group. Let me just inform you megachurch pastors, all division is not bad. I want to tell you something. Jesus caused division. Jesus came into a situation where the true religion, the established religion, was dead, lukewarm, obsessed with keeping the law. And they were so obsessed with their religion and their traditions. They were so obsessed with the Sabbath and keeping it just right. And they were so obsessed with all these things, they could not even recognize the Lord of the Sabbath, the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. They couldn't even recognize, they couldn't even discern him. And Jesus looked at them one time and said, "You hypocrites." Matthew 16, he said, "You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern these times. You can't even recognize me." But it is no different today. If Jesus were to walk in most churches today, especially the mega churches, and stand up and start saying certain things that are in Scripture, he would be escorted out the door. By force. Because they don't want the truth, the whole truth. They want just enough to feel spiritual, to feel religious, to feel comfortable. You know why we sing the songs that we do in this church? About wanting more of God's presence, wanting more of his glory, wanting more of his presence, wanting more understanding and wisdom and revelation, because we don't want to get stagnated, dead, lukewarm, and settled into some little, you know, box of religion that we've created just so we can feel spiritual. I'm going to tell you, I'm so upset this morning over some Christians. I'm almost so upset and so oppressed. I didn't even want to come to church this morning or even get up here and preach, because I am so sick and tired of lying, manipulating. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. Don't lie to me. God, don't lie to me and let me catch you lying to me. See, I can be your best friend, your best ally you ever had. And I'm talking to some ministers out there. But you lie to me, you manipulate me, you play games with me. Oh, I can be your worst nightmare. Because you're not messing with a novice here. You're not messing with a little boy that doesn't know, hadn't been through anything. Now, one thing I can tell you is I know this book. And better than that, I know the one who wrote the book. Oh, I'm so frustrated. You know, I know Paul would say there were times in 2 Corinthians 1 where he talked about being in such despair sometimes that it just felt like death over him. 1 Corinthians 15, he talked about when he was at Ephesus, he fought with beasts. He was talking about spiritual beasts. Sometimes Paul talked about how the weight of the ministry upon him was so heavy that he just wanted, you know, basically wanted to crawl under a rock or fly away. That's why David said one time, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I might fly away. I might be at rest. You see, around ministry, true ministry, there's always going to be division, strife, controversy. That's why the prophet Jeremiah said, I am born a man. I'm just a man of strife. I'm a man of strife and controversy. Because I'm telling the entire religious establishment, the priest of my day, the elders of Israel, I'm telling them everything they don't want to hear. You know, I'm going to tell you, unity is a good thing when you can have it. But unity that sets aside core truth for the sake of trying to get along is a false unity. And I will try to be in unity with all kinds of people that I can. I understand that there are people saved in different denominations that have different beliefs. And I'm not saying everything is a salvation issue if we disagree on it. But I can tell you one thing. Liars will have no part in the kingdom of heaven. Liars will go to hell is what it said, book says. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21, if you want to check me on that. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of deception. I'm tired of manipulation. I'm tired of little games being played. I feel sorry, but you know, this is so funny. Because, you know, this megachurch pastor that, you know, was being nasty, real nasty to me. And what blew my mind was the way he came at it showed he doesn't even know the Bible. He thinks he knows the Bible, but he doesn't even know the Bible. I mean, he's just taking it and using it as trying to attack me, and he wasn't even using it correctly. I'm sitting here going, dude, look up a Hebrew word once in a while, and you might not make these mistakes. Look up a Greek word, and you might not make these mistakes. No, because you know what? The churches out there, for the most part, don't keep it light. Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We got that extreme over here. Jesus loves you, has a plan for you. It doesn't really matter what you do. And then we got this extreme over here that I'm dealing with. It says if you don't keep the feast and the Sabbath and the law of Moses perfectly or as much as you can, you don't perfectly love God. You're not right with God. You're lawless. And I'm going to tell you, what I thought was going to be some unity is about to be even a bigger division. I am not playing this game much longer with some folks. Now, this is not about you, so don't think it's you. I'm dealing with people out there. Oh, I'm so tired of it. People forget, I'm sitting here, and you know, one of the divisions, you want to know one of the divisions Jesus caused, folks? It's called Old Covenant and New Covenant. That's why, not what this message is on today, but We're in the new covenant. So in case you hadn't checked, all right, we're in the new covenant. But I want you to read this. I want to read this verse. We're going to read it from two places. This is Jesus speaking. I read it Tuesday night, but not everyone was with us on Tuesday night. The Lord Jesus said these words. This is Matthew 10, verse 34, and we're going to read through verse 39. She's not bothering me. Let's read it. Matthew 10, 34 through 39. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth, Jesus said. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come that a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now that they of his own household doesn't just mean in a family, but it also can mean in the household of God, in the church, in the body of Christ. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that finds his life, or basically does his own will with his life, chooses to control everything in his life, shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. But think about that verse right there. Everybody thinks that Jesus, yes, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Yes, Jesus said, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. And if you can make peace with people, that's wonderful, if there can be peace. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans 14, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, as much as possible. But never did Jesus say that his sword of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, never did he say that it's not going to cause division. He said that my truth, my word, my gospel, my message, this new covenant is going to cause division, even between sons and daughters and fathers and mothers. I mean, this is saying it causes division. If one person is going to follow Jesus according to the word and another person says, I'm not going to do it, how in the world are they going to be at peace and unity? It's impossible. And Jesus said, don't get it in your brains that this is going to, you know, when you stand up for truth, you take a stand. For instance, just take a stand in this world that Jesus Christ is the only true God and the only way for your sins to be forgiven and the only way to go to heaven. Just stand for that truth and see the division that comes. Stand up and say what the Bible says, that homosexuality is an abomination to God, and he hates it, and he detests it. And that no homosexual will inherit the kingdom of God, will go to heaven. Say that, and you will divide not only from the world, but you will divide much of what's called the church. Say the Bible. Yes, the good old King James Version. Even say you like the King James Version. And here comes division. Say there is a heaven and there is a real burning hell that people will spend eternity in. That one's not popular anymore either. That will cause division. There's a lot of Christians right now, and I'm talking about in all denominations, that are beginning to believe that there is no such thing as eternal damnation, eternal torment, eternal punishment in a real hell, in a real lake of fire, in real torment. And yet Jesus talked about it more than anybody else in the New Testament. I did a study on it one time and found 100 direct references to eternal hell, damnation, punishment in the Bible. The word hell in the King James Bible is mentioned 21 times in the New Testament. 14 times of that 21 is Jesus himself. Jesus warned about hell. Jesus said, don't fear those that can kill the body, but fear him that once the body is dead and killed can put you in hell. Jesus told the story of hell, the rich man and Lazarus. And the wicked rich man went to hell. And it says in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment and cried out saying, send Lazarus that he may dip his hand in water and put a drop of water on my tongue. for I am tormented in this flame. And then he begged Abraham and Lazarus, please send someone. Please send Lazarus to warn my family, my brothers, that they don't come to this place. And then Jesus says, he says, though one rises from the dead, they won't believe. I mean, think of that. One of the most documented facts of history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And yet many still don't believe. Yeah, just say that. Jesus rose from the dead. Division. Say God created the heavens and the earth. Division. Say we didn't come from monkeys. We didn't evolve from the primordial soup. Division. Division, 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 division. Even it says it. Let's go to Luke 12. Basically the same thing here. In Matthew 10. But even uses the word division. So Luke 12, verse 51, what Jesus said here. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And we want there to always be peace and unity and no problems. Well, you better find an island and get on it by yourself and hope that there's not even any animals or anything there. You put two human beings together, and guess what? You just created the potential for division. And then when you enter in and you put Jesus into that mix and you put the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the new covenant, or any truth in Scripture that we can rightly divide and put forth in sound doctrine, you will cause division. And the reason I bring this up, of course, the megachurch pastor, it's so funny. There's always a tattletale, especially when you got 16,000 members. I'm sure you got a few tattletales. So a tattletale sent me an email, said, yep, I know who you're talking about. And this is what happened. And basically when the issue of flat earth and biblical cosmology and the firmament and just to, in a discussion when that came up, basically the church leadership said, we're shutting it down. You're not allowed to speak about that in any of our Bible studies, any of our meetings. It causes division. It doesn't help anything. It doesn't help our walk, deepen our walk with the Lord. And I thought to myself, wow, that's Vatican-like tactics. Doesn't matter how many scriptures you can pull up and discuss about it. You know, I told somebody about this. I said, you know, this is no different. Well, I guess I told my wife. I said, this is no different than when my dad was in the Baptist church and he got saved in the Baptist church. God moved and he got the basic gospel message and he did get saved and he did repent and he was baptized in water. But then he made the mistake of continuing to read the Bible. And he got to the book of Acts. And he started reading about this thing of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing. He started seeing what they were doing in the book of Acts. And he was like, hey, Baptist pastor, Pastor Jim, what about this? Oh, we don't talk about that. And then slammed the door in his face. Oh, really? Caused that baby Christian, my dad, to stumble and fall away from God for years. because it wounded him as a baby Christian. He didn't understand, why would any preacher, why would any minister, why would any man of God say, we're not going to talk about that part of Scripture. We're not even going to talk about it. Not that even whether we disagree or agree, but we're not even going to let you talk about it. Division over the word. My mom and dad divorced. Now, that wasn't the only reason. They were both bad fuel for each other's fire, you know, at the time. But the icing on the cake was my dad got saved and my mom didn't want to follow the Lord at that time. And so, boom. My dad didn't want that to happen, but there was no stopping it. So was that God's will for my dad and mom and our family? No. But did it happen? And did it happen over, like I said, the icing on the cake was, I'm going to follow Jesus, or are we going to do this as a family? My dad even told me the day he went forward in that Baptist church to accept the Lord, that he grabbed my mom's hand and said, come, go with me. And she pulled her hand away from him. Now, glad to say that many years later, I was able to lead my mom to Jesus after she had a bout with cancer. And we nearly lost her. But you see, Jesus said, my truth, my sword, it will cause division. See, the question you got is, a lot of people want, they want Jesus. They want to go to heaven. They want forgiveness of their sins. But they don't want to deal with the trials and the tribulation and the strife and the controversies and the division that will come. Because you know what? When I came to Jesus, I had to walk away from some people that I hung out with. I had to walk away from some old girlfriends. I had to walk away from the bar scene. I had to walk away from the alcohol. I had to leave some of my friends. I couldn't be at their house on Friday night. I remember when, after I was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, and I went back down to Troy State University, to Sigma Chi Fraternity, where I had lived in the fraternity house. And I went back there to witness and tell some of my old fraternity buddies about Jesus. And I went on a Friday, but I went early on Friday because I knew they were going to be having a party that night. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to some. I talked to several different ones. And then I'm sitting there talking to my old roommate. And we're sitting. I remember we're sitting out on the back patio. And then we had a nice house, fraternity house. And we're sitting on the back patio. And I remember I could feel when the evil spirits started moving in over that place, because it was getting close to party time. Folks were starting to trickle in, cases of beer, coolers of beer and liquor, and here it comes. You know, the sororities are starting to come. I said, well, it's time for me to go. I hope you listen to what I said, brother, but I'm not staying here, I'm gone. I got in the car and left. You got to separate yourself. You got to be willing to separate yourself. I've lost close friends, best friends, and I'm talking about Christian friends, over truth. It's so funny. Almost everyone who endorsed my first book, all but one, turned against me. One minute, boy, he's anointed preacher. He's the best thing since sliced bread. We love Pastor Dean. We love what he preaches. And then, it didn't take too long. I never get too excited about church growth, as it grows one way and then it grows the other way regularly. People talk about moving here so they can go to our church. I tell them that's probably not a good idea. You know how you get along with family at a distance? And it's different when you live with them? I just be sure you know it's God. I say, because it's not going to be what you thought it was going to be. because we will get in your business. All right? And you'll see our business. You'll find something you don't like or you don't agree with. I mean, it's happened. I think everybody's actually moved here to go to church here. They're now gone. So I discourage both of them. Are you sure? Are you really sure? Don't do it unless you're sure. Why? Because I know what's coming. Test is coming. I mean, folks, it's going to come. Division's going to come. Now, there's bad division. I want you to turn to this verse. Turn to Romans chapter 16. And this division is also unavoidable at times. Romans 16, we're going to read from verse 17, 18 and 19. Think about this. Now, there are divisions over truth, and there are divisions over error, deception. Let's read it. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would you have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now let's back up and look at that. Verse 17 and 18 again. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Not many people talk about that. Here's an instruction from the apostle. And you know, he gave a similar instruction in the book of Galatians chapter 1. He says, if anyone comes to you, and if they preach any other gospel unto you than what we have preached, let that man be accursed. He's saying this: what? That person is either deceived or a deceiver, and there was a curse upon them. And here in Romans, he says, if someone comes to you and they're causing divisions due to false doctrine, meaning false, wrong teachings in the Bible, where they're teaching something that you can prove is clearly wrong and not biblical, or maybe they have a few scriptures, but they don't have them. They ignore others that really spell it out the way it is. He says you better mark those divisions and avoid them. See, right now, there's situations going on where there's some division in families. There's a lot of division in the body of Christ. But actually, those divisions are actually good, because two can't walk together. You know, one of my favorite verses, you can throw this one up too there, brother. Amos 3:3. I've quoted it so many times in my life, I don't even have to look it up anymore. But he asked the question. It's a short little verse, Amos 3:3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. Am I going to be able to walk together with people that deny the deity of Jesus Christ and the Trinity? Nope. Ain't going to happen. Am I going to be able to walk in agreement with people that say you have to keep the Sabbath, the feast, the dietary laws, the rituals of Moses, when the New Testament says you don't have to do that anymore? Am I going to be able to walk in agreement with those people? No, because if those people say This is an absolute requirement. And if you don't do this, you're lawless and you're not, you don't love God perfectly and you're not right and you're not this. Am I going to be able to walk with those people? Nope. I tell you what. I can't take credit for this. Another minister said this to me the other day. He called them Torah terrorists. You wouldn't believe the emails I get from the Torah terrorist that the name of Jesus, as we pronounce it, Jesus, is demonic. Now, that's just blasphemy. I know they think they've got something figured out from some conspiracy website somewhere. But for 30 years, and actually going back further than that, because I got saved. Somebody do the math. What's 1979? Well, 2009 would be what? That'd be 30 years. So, you know, almost 40. 40 years, the name of Jesus, as we say it, has been powerful in my life, personally, and through my ministry to people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as we say it right now, I was saved, born again. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues. I have seen the deaf hear, the crippled walk. I have seen cancer disappear. I have cast out thousands of demons out of demon-possessed people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every revival in Western culture, in English-speaking culture, every revival, every move of God, every outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's brought hundreds of thousands and even millions of people into the kingdom of God has been through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Happened through ministers and churches who believe in the Trinity, triune nature of God, and that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. These great revivals, these great moves of the Spirit of God, these great ingatherings of lost souls have happened through ministers who did not believe you had to keep the law of Moses to be right with God. So I guess God is confused. I've taken screenshots of these Torah terrorists. Well, these people that don't keep Torah like us, they just don't love God. Had a guy, one of these Torah terrorists from Texas, tell me I had no business preaching the gospel. This kid is not even 30 years old. Let me tell you what's happening. There's a line being drawn in the sand. I am fed up with it. If I hear one more of them say, the law's not done away with, when I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that says, the law makes us perfect. The Bible says the law made nothing perfect. Hence why we have a new covenant now. It's been abolished, done away with. 2 Corinthians 3, again and again. Does that mean the New Testament says we don't have to live morally? No, we do. But the New Testament says we do not have to keep the Sabbath on Saturday. It says we do not have to keep the feast. It says we do not have to be circumcised. It says we can eat whatever we want as long as we receive it with thanksgiving. Every creature of God is to be received. Now, the New Testament did change some things from the Old Testament. If it didn't, we didn't need a new one. This is not rocket science. You know what I'm saying? And this Torah movement, it is a division in the body of Christ. Contrary to New Testament doctrine taught by the apostles in Acts 15 and the book of Hebrews and the book of Galatians and the book of Colossians. I guess I'm going to have to do another in-depth, detailed teaching on this again. But here's what I'm going to start doing to the Torah terrorists. Block, 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 remove, block, remove, block, 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 block. That's what I'm going to do. It's insanity. It's absolute insanity. So there's a division over truth. There's a division that's bad over error. Now, I want to restate it again, because guess what? If we left right now, you guys would beat the Baptists to lunch. So we don't want to do that just yet. They would think something bad happened. Well, how did they get here for us? I want to state it again as I did in the video I made months ago. You want to do all that stuff? You want to keep the law of Moses? That's fine. That's your business. But the moment you start telling me I have no business preaching the gospel, I'm not a man of God, I'm in error, I'm lawless, me and you are going to part ways. But it's the same thing. You come in here and tell me, oh, I believe I can live in adultery. And I'm going to heaven. Oh, no, you knew, no, no, no. You know what I'm saying? We'll deal with both sides of the coin here. You know, it gets me. I'm getting attacked by a bunch of these zealots for the law. And I'm like, I'm not even a hyper grace guy. I believe you can fall away from God and be lost. See, I believe there's the law of Moses, and I believe there's the law of Christ in the New Testament. And I believe there were requirements under the law, but now we've been spelled out what the requirements are for us under the New Covenant, and they are different. They are different. I dare anybody to show me that they're not different, because they are different. I've read it too much. I mean, I think some of these 20-something-year-olds, do they think I just started this yesterday? Tell you what, here's what I want to see in the Hebrew Roots movement. This is what I want to see. I want to see the blind see, the crippled walk, the deaf hear, the dead raised. That's what I want to see, because it ain't happening. That's what I want to see. Because Paul asked in Galatians, he that worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? I could spend all day on this. I really didn't plan on getting into this today, because I'm going to have to get into it. But you got your mega church pastors over here attacking me. I mean, this is what I got, y'all. You want me to tell you? You want to talk about the man of controversy? I got Christians in just about every denomination attacking me for one reason or another. I got the Hebrew Roots folks, the extremists in the Hebrew Roots attacking me. I got Baptists attacking me. I got Calvinists attacking me. I got megachurch pastors attacking me. I got Muslims cursing me. I mean, I get it all, man. And though sometimes I get tired of it, I can tell you this much. It does let me know something. Obviously, we're lifting up the Jesus of the New Covenant. And it's really causing quite a stir out there now. The Jesus of the true creation. The Jesus who's going to come back again. Amen. The Jesus who, when the law zealots bring you and lay you in front of him, and say, we caught this one in adultery, and the law says we should stone her to death. What do you say? This is the Jesus that looks up and says, oh yeah, guys, I know what the law says. But you without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone at her. Sin. And they walk out. And then Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, that's the Jesus I want. That's the Jesus that'll forgive you. That's the Jesus. And guess what? His instructions to her was go and sin no more. Did that mean if she sinned again, she was done? No. You think she went out and never, ever sinned again the rest of her life? No, she didn't. What was he saying to her? Don't let this ever dominate you again. Don't let this rule you. Aren't you glad there is mercy and grace and forgiveness? And that Jesus took our sin. Listen to this, y'all. Isaiah 53 says, not only did he take our sin, but he took our punishment for sin. Think about that. He took our sin and he took our punishment for sin. He took it. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. You know, I think of the scripture in Romans, I believe it's Romans 10:4, if I remember correctly. But it says this, it says, Christ, Jesus, is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the end. Let me ask you something. Jeff, you go down a road, and the road ends. Does that go any further? I mean, if it's an end, it's an end, right? It either ends or it keeps going, right? Christ is the end of the law. All I need is him. I need him in my life, in a real, tangible, intimate way. And if I'm in him and he's in me through faith, and I begin a relationship with the Savior, the one who died for me and rose from the dead. If I begin that, let me tell you what happens. He said, I've got a new law. And it's called the law of love. And if you love your neighbor, you won't ever break the law. If you love God, the two commandments is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just love me. Just spend time with me. And yes, there are some things we need to obey, but they're written in the New Testament. I mean, I think about the night that Jesus sat down with them and he picked up the bread and he picked up the cup of wine and he tells them, this bread is my body that's broken for you. This, when he put the cup up, he says, this is the New Testament, the New Covenant in my blood. Everybody say this one word with me. Say, new. Oh, come on, that was pitiful. Say, new. Y'all want a quick definition of eternal life? Last scripture. Gospel of John 17. John 17. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. No. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's it. Do you know him? Do you know him in a real relationship? That's all that's going to matter. When you stand before him, it's not going to be, did you keep the law perfectly? Did you keep all the feasts? Did you keep the Sabbath? That's not going to be the issue to the men. Were you circumcised or not? That's not going to be the issue. Do you really know God, or did you just know about Him? See, in this room, I could pull out a dollar bill and we could look at a picture of Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. We could pull out money, or Jackson, or whoever. And all of you would say, oh yeah, that's Abraham Lincoln, or that's George Washington. But did you ever meet those guys? Did you ever talk with those guys and they talk back to you? I hope not. Or we have another problem, right? But you know about them. You've read history books about them. You know about them, but you don't know them. A lot of people are like that. They've read a little bit of the Bible. They've heard a little bit of preaching. They know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And on the day of judgment, that's why some of the words He's going to say is, I don't know you. I don't know you. You don't know me. Yeah, you knew a lot about me. You went to church. You were baptized. But you never let me come in 100% and take control. See, I already feel, the hate mail's coming from this one. I don't care. I'm glad. And you know something? I don't know. When these law zealots start stoning rebellious children and adulterers and homosexuals in their midst, we might can start taking them seriously. Because if they're going to follow the law, they better follow it all. That's what the Bible says. So do you want that, or do you want mercy? You want to be a people of mercy, a people of patience. I think it's pretty simple. All right, let's pray. Jesus, Lord, we thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, for the truth. Lord, we know You said there would be division. Because of Your word, because of the truth. There will be division caused by false teaching and false doctrine. Lord, You said there was going to be strife and controversy. You caused it everywhere You went. Some believed You were the Messiah, others rejected that. And You were perfect, Lord, and we're not. God, give us the strength to continue to stand up for the gospel. The uncorrupted, unadulterated, pure gospel that the apostles laid out for us. Let us not be people that deny or reject Your power. And I pray again as I prayed this morning, Lord, let us begin to see again the great and notable miracles that they may confirm Your word. I thank You for those I have seen. And I pray for more. Father, I thank You for this, and I ask You to bless Your people here, those watching and listening. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. You know what? I think I'm just going to let this one simmer. Y'all can just let it simmer in there. Do whatever you will with it. Kevin, would you close us out in prayer and pray over the offering?
In that name of Jesus. Now,
Hallelujah. All right, we off? Okay. We'll say bye to everybody. Bye, y'all. Do we have